cost of borrowing. So what we had is a standalone project. There was a funding gap of, on either one of these alignments, of about, we'll say, about $2 billion as a standalone project. So you kind of get a sense of how much is generated. Throughout the process, what we looked at and asked the council to do, and Lake County really stepped up and looked at ways that maybe we could look at reducing that project cost. You know, this still needs more work, and looking at from our perspective, that this was kind of a late thing that was done to the project. So, but some suggestions were obviously refining the cost of the detailed design. Right now, we're still very, very high level, and maybe 10%, 5% range of, I would call that, design. So there's a lot of opportunities for some design refinements and better information. The more information, the better you can get. And we reduce our contingency amounts that way. There was a possibility of accelerating construction to take advantage of some of the escalation factors that we include in the projects, 5% a year. Something that can be considered moving, you know, instead of a midpoint of construction 2020, move it up to 2018. A possibility, something that can be looked at, depends how quick we can move certain things around, but that was something that was suggested as a possible cost reduction. Looking at different financing options, you know, 6%, I don't know where we are right now, but would that change drastically any of the bonding capacity? Also looking at plans to what would happen along this 120 portion. We don't know. There's these two different alternates that are out there. Maybe there's ways to reap some savings with that. And every one of these savings would also reduce the overall dollars that are allocated for engineering and contingency, which are straight percentage type items. And overall project delivery techniques. Can we look at maybe some design build type things on the project? Project phasing, can we implement the project, generate some revenue while we continue to implement? Okay, so financial framework. Some of the suggestions that came out of the council on how this project can be financed. There's a standalone, which you saw that what how much revenue that would generate in the bonding capacity, and the funding gap was about $2 billion. Some of the other suggestions that were supported by the council members talked about obviously putting tolls on the new portion of 53, but looking at things such as congestion pricing and indexing the tolls on that roadway to ensure that we always keep pace with traffic demand. Obviously, you're building a roadway with less capacity than there is demand, so it's, you could price it such that you always ensure the free flow, so there would be some congestion pricing indexing. That was supported and recommended by the council. Looking at some of the tolls in Lake County today, really looking at Interstate 94 and maybe trying to balance out the tolls along all of Interstate 94 from really O'Hare Airport up to the Wisconsin State line. There's variations in tolls, and maybe even looking at putting tolls on. Right now, they are the ramps that are, you get on and off this, you get off the system, you don't pay a toll, but when you get on the system, you pay a toll down the line. So looking at balancing some of those tolls out, maybe adding some tolls onto these untolled ramps is a possibility, a suggestion, kind of balancing out development across Lake County. As I said, congestion pricing was something that was recommended by and supported by this group. And I want to clarify this, the tolls on the existing portion of 53 was something that did come up from the council members as a something that they suggested. This was basically from I-90 up to Lake Cook Road. But I also want to point this out, it's not just putting a toll on that roadway, it was putting a toll on the roadway, reconstructing, rebuilding that portion of Route 53 that at some point in time is going to need it. It was just resurfaced last year. It's going to be coming in a regular recycle, resurfacing cycle very soon. I believe it was originally, portions of it date back to 1960s, some date to 1970s. So it included, the tolls didn't just fund the extension, it also funded a reconstructing rehabilitation of the existing roadway as well. And the possibility of accelerating the opening of the road, like I said, kind of phasing the project in. These were some of the things that were supported and encouraged by the council. A few other things. Talk about, you know, you've heard a little bit about local sources of revenue. You've heard from one of the comments. There were sources identified. I believe $286 million was identified from the county as a possibility through maybe a value capture or TIF or sales or motor fuel tax. These were ways that the county might be able to contribute to the overall project. But it was really all intended. I think it was the dollar amount that we had in some in the appendix of this presentation. It was about $286 million from the locals. Other possibilities were, I won't say much about federal funds because we know where those are, but that was always a possibility. There might be some other federal funding programs that we could look at to help support this project since it is called out in CMAP's 2040 plan. Looking at the possibilities from the state as well, from the right-of-way, the contribution of the land, and continuing acquisition from the state to maybe draw down that cost. And then, like I said, revenue from the existing tollway system. These were other sources that were identified and recommended by the council. Looking at this, so how do we went from about a $2 billion funding gap, looking at some of these other cost reductions like that I talked about, accelerating the midpoint of construction, looking at some of these revenue enhancements. The funding gap was reduced to about $776 million. Kind of putting it into, that's what, if we applied some of these other funding sources, we might be able to reduce the cost of the project down, as well as reduce the funding gap from, by about $1 billion.
Maybe we should just stop and see, that was a lot to absorb.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we, are there any questions? I mean, we certainly have some ideas about next steps, but maybe this is a good time for discussion and questions.
Yeah, I mean, I would just simply ask that after looking at all these possible additional funding, you kind of had a gap that you've begun to fill, and now there's a remaining $750 million gap there. What are some of the possible solutions around that?
These were the sources that we said, okay, how else can we look at this? We've looked at this list of items of what we could do to close. Now, are there ways to maybe get increased contribution from any one of these sources shown here through maybe value capture, sales tax, any kind of local work? Are there federal funds through there? This is where there's a lot more work that will have to occur.
So these are the possible sources.
These are the possible sources.
Yeah, that were addressed.
Some, I mean, there may be others, obviously, as work continues. We haven't really talked about beyond the potential for toll equalization on other parts of the Lake County tollways, what the possibilities are for, similar to other projects, looking at the tollway as a system, and if this was added to our system, what that would mean in terms of maybe additional support. But I think another point here, and we're trying to get at this, but these are very high level cost estimates as well. So with some additional design and engineering work and some finality around that, we might see that the cost estimates, which I do think are conservative, appropriately conservative, mm-hmm. We might see those costs come down, and as a result, obviously that would work to close the gap as well. Well,
okay, and so in order to arrive at some of those facts, we have to figure out what our next steps are to be able to begin to refine this, and also I guess we have to consider what are the costs of those steps.
Right. I want to say this also. One of the recommendations that came out of the report was to continue to look at the financing part of this, and that's one of our recommendations too, is get a core group of people together to look at that issue. We did a lot of work. We closed it down obviously, a lot more work has to happen, but that is definitely one of the recommendations, to continue to look at the whole financing and the cost reduction and revenue generation side as well.
May I ask a question about the acceleration of the date from mm-hmm. 20 to 18? The 217 that you get in terms of cost reduction is because, theoretically, the pricing that you get would be better?
We've accounted for in the project today is 5% per year escalation.
Mm-hmm.
If you could advance the project by 2 years, you save those dollars on escalation itself, but then there's also the straight percentage items, such as engineering, and we carry a contingency of 25% of the project, so by reducing the cost down, you're moving it all up.
And then on the revenue side, mm-hmm. the $60 million from acceleration, that's not that you're collecting the tolls earlier, that's got to do with the bonding? Because you're going to collect the same amount of money whenever you open it, right? I'm sorry, am I not
No,
right?
No, it is because we would open the project up 2 years earlier. So you have some revenue that would, and that was the bonding capacity number that was taken from. If you were to open this a little bit earlier, you'd have some earlier revenue generation. And
which changes, theoretically, the value that you get from bonds? Because that $60 million is coming in whenever you open it, right?
I think part of the charge was to more fully evaluate this financial package.
And these are their questions. Right, really these are their proposals.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to understand it.
What the logic was behind it, right.
Maybe someone take me aside and educate. Okay, sorry.
Okay. Chairman?
Yes.
If I may, on the congestion pricing, how does that work? I mean, it's a rated and you evaluate it by hour, or is it based by actual use? So it would be like an electronic sign, so people come upon it, and if you want to enter here, you're paying.
It's done one or two. You just described it two ways, and you can either do it by hour. That's every single day. If I get on the roadway at 7 a.m., it's going to cost me this much.
But it could be a set. So it could be a set price that you know. Every day, if you're traveling at a peak time, it's 25 cents or 30 cents more a mile versus something that's more flexible based on congestion positions where we try to actually manage the traffic by raising the rates. We see it's particularly crowded, maybe the rates go up even a little bit higher at that point.
And that's called dynamic pricing. So you're actually, you're monitoring what's happening on the road, the speed of what's happening on the road, and then you set the prices accordingly to encourage more people to get on the roadway because the roadway has additional capacity, or the price increases to limit the amount of people entering the roadway to ensure the ultimate goal on any pricing is to make sure you're getting a free flow movement. Free flow on a 45 mile per hour corridor or design or operating speed might be 40 miles per hour, but you're still moving at 40 miles per hour as opposed to if you've got enough demand probably to break the whole system down, but you're pricing it to control the demand. You only have so much supply, so you're pricing to control the demand.
Okay.
And how do you test the elasticity of that when you've got existing arterial roads?
This is exactly what one of the things that we'd be doing in the next steps portion would be to really look at. Again, we're still way up here right now. We've got a lot of great thoughts and ideas. We were able to take people from completely different mindsets at the beginning of this. We got to narrow down and say, okay, here's what's going to be palatable. We've got a range of what might be acceptable. This is what we would ask our traffic engineer, or actually if we went out and got brought on a different firm to do this, have them really look at that. You would look at the network demand, how much demand is there for the overall network today, and then project it out into the future on all the existing roadways. Now, if you were to build this new capacity, somewhat constrained because there's demand for 8 lanes, 4 lanes in each direction, so there's enough demand out there. But you're constraining some of the supply by building just 4. So you look at now what happens if you introduce this new roadway. What does that do on these other roadways? You would look at travel times, if you parallel roadway at 30 miles per hour, 35 miles per hour, what happens when you hit this peak demand in the future, and then you look at also the demographics in the area. One of the other things that we would suggest in the next step is to do this willingness to pay survey to get down to that level to say what are people willing to pay in the peak and off peak time frames. During the peak, you can imagine any people, as anybody from Lake County will tell you, it's horrible. Traffic is stopped up there. They'll pay to move. Now what happens in the off peak and overnight at time frame when you could drive on this parallel roadway at 35 miles per hour and pay for nothing, or we don't have the fire, do we? I'll hold the door for you all to get out first. So then, in the off-peak time frame, are you going to pay to drive on a 45 mile per hour rate, or pay nothing to drive? So that would be one of the next steps, is to look at that finer level, very high level right now. But these are
on both sides, so from design engineering side, but also from kind of the revenue and traffic projections. And as you all know, we did reserve money in the Move Illinois program to do just that for some of these emerging priorities.
And then,
I was just going back to Director Reddick's original question. Is I think the congestion pricing connotes congestion, and when you have and you were talking about supply side, you're talking about two lanes being one factor. Another factor is a 45 mile an hour speed limit. To what degree do those two things begin to offset? And what realistically is the usage or demand going to be based on those primary factors? And I think that's, we have to be able to answer that question to some degree to be able to figure out whether congestion pricing even makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, before you even go on with that, if you start at the very beginning, the premise that we're going to have these different enhancements to this road compared to the rest of the system, and you're tolling it at the same level, before you even talk congestion pricing, what cost is borne by, first of all, going to 45, going to 4 miles, and the enhancements from a depressed highway to, some of the enhancements on the trails and the natural areas. What does that add to the cost, and what would then, to build a road like that be, would an equivalent toll on the rest of the system? So if you built it like the rest of the system, I guess is my question, mm-hmm. What is that difference, and should the rest of the system bear that cost?
These are actually,
or do we go there?
These are things that we started looking at too, is to say, to kind of break down. This mic show that's a little fuzzy because I cut and pasted it right out of the document itself. This is a bit of a breakdown of where the costs are. What you see, some of the additional items is that hashed out area, are the supplemental environmental features that were added to the project. So it's about 11% of the total project cost. But other things to consider, and that's again an excellent question, because we've thought about it as well. If you were to build a typical road, there's differences. You talk about a 45 mile per hour road width. That allows you to build something narrower at different design speeds, as opposed to 70 mile per hour, which requires big, wide, sweeping turns. So maybe from a wider right-of-way perspective, we can narrow things down. Other things that we're looking at on this roadway are narrower shoulders than traditional. So there might be some savings from that. These are a lot of things that we have to look at. But then you might reap some savings on the footprint of the roadway itself, but you've got these additional environmental features. Another thing to really contemplate is what a typical roadway, like you see out here at 355, you have more supply, you might generate some additional revenue from that roadway. But a typical roadway like 355 will never happen up in that area in Lake County without tremendous amount of, I would say, litigation. That's where we were before. That's what's taken over the last 40, 50 years. So again, we just try to figure out what's going to be palatable to the people up there.
Okay. But the community demands something like that. Mm-hmm. Should the community pay for that?
Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, got a freeway, 53 up there right now, and what has been the feedback from the community in terms of their willingness to see that be told? Is that?
Well, I think this group, the Blue Ribbon Advisory Council, mm-hmm. said that it's something that should be looked at, and that they could support it. Now, clearly, that's another thing that would take a much more expanded. Mm-hmm. effort, because the Blue Ribbon Advisory Council was convened really looking at the impact of the 53-120 corridor and the geography of it as it was originally envisioned. Now with potentially an expansion, I think we'd have to look at is there outreach to some additional communities, what additional work do we need to do? I mean, we did certainly have some communities that would be impacted by the Cook County portion on the advisory right. council, but I think that would require more work too. And as Rocco said, I think more refining of, is there a net positive there with the improvements and investment that would be needed? Is there does the additional revenue really track to help support the entire corridor with the improvements or additional elements that we would and investments we would be making to the existing 53 mm-hmm. and its long-term maintenance.
And when you say maintenance, that's another thing that we really have to figure out. Again, we're extremely high level on this project. We need to get a better understanding of the maintenance and operation costs with these design and performance standards that are being recommended through the council. We've never had these natural drainage systems like they're recommending through here that require a higher level of maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about some suggestions on minimizing the use of salt and looking at alternative forms of de-icing. We need to look at those things as well and really get a better handle on all these things. A lot of great ideas that came out of this. We just need to put a little more meat on the bones.
We have similar models of, you know, 45 mile an hour two-lane toll highway elsewhere in the country that gives us any insight.
May I, just before you do that, go back to this prior question?
Sure.
When we do this analysis on what happens in the non-toll part of 53, I assume when we're talking about enhancement, we're talking about economic development enhancement too, but having this better throughput through the north part of Lake County actually impacts the economic growth that's possible on the southern part of 53?
I mean, if you drive on 53, there are delays on the existing piece of 53. Not just in the northbound direction, but also going to the Arlington Heights, Schaumburg area in particular, where you really see more delays. So in any mobility, and it's not just looking at about where the congestion today, we're projecting out further mm-hmm. too. At some point in time, you're going to need to do this. So that road is, at some point, you know, it's
so
going to need something.
Mm-hmm. It's a benefit to that, to those communities. Okay, so.
It certainly could be.
Just going back to other models or
nothing
much out there.
So much like this, a four lane 45 mile tolled parkway. There is a new roadway that was built as a 4-lane 45 mile per hour parkway that's free in Utah, the Legacy Parkway. A lot of the same reasons, the environmental concerns and considerations. It's a more context driven design on that particular roadway, but it is a freeway. One that is somewhat comparable, and it might be something that we could look at to draw some experience on, is the Chisholm Trail Parkway in Texas. It is it's a parkway design, but the lane configurations go from 3 lanes in each direction to 2 lanes in each direction to 1 lane in each direction as a tolled roadway. The speeds go from 70 to 55 to 50 miles per hour. So there's a change in both the it's a tolled roadway that is somewhat controlled by speed. It is a parkway design, but it's not a 45 mile per hour roadway. This roadway is actually being it's in construction right now. It's about $1.4 billion and due to open in 2014. It might be something that we could draw upon. This is something that was brought up early with the council, is maybe the 45 mile per hour speed limit doesn't start out at 45, maybe at the beginning of the roadway for the first segment in the transition period, you do run it like a typical roadway, and then you taper it down to some of these other, to a slower speed throughout there.
Beginning means the south portion.
The southern portion. So again, a little bit more work that has to be done on that. It was a concept that was brought up. And again, we have to look at what the impacts are. It's definitely going to be a challenge coming from a high-speed roadway. Actually, I believe the north end of the existing piece of 53, the extreme north end of it right now, they've already posted at 45 to slow the traffic down before it comes into this big system interchange of mess where you start hitting the jam. So, but this is something somewhat comparable. It's a stepped speed reduction, stepped lane reduction.
How do they do their tolling? Is this congestion?
Electronic. I don't know if it's, I'm sorry, I could find out if it's all congestion price, and I don't know if they've even posted the toll rates
okay.
on it yet.
Well, it's not done, so it's probably not in
right.
it yet.
But again, comparable electronic type of roadway. But there wasn't much drawn. This is definitely unique and innovative for this. It's something that just hasn't been done before.
And that the corridor land use plan that's discussed here,
mm-hmm.
is that something a bit new and different, or that we haven't done so much of in the past, or is this somehow?
So the corridor land use plan, the intent of that is really to get everybody, as we started this process working with CMAP, there was, I forgot how many communities, in the teens, communities all along the roadway. Everybody was planning for the ultimate amount of growth that was going to happen in the community. But when you stitch it all together, the growth that was being planned was both residential and commercial. It wasn't going to be realistic. So the corridor land use plan, the intent of that, and this is something actually Lake County just applied for an application from CMAC to help lead this effort, it would really be to take all these communities together and make sure that their land use plans are going to be compatible with a 45 mile per hour four lane roadway. A lot of the land use plans were based on some of our old work, which was the 8 lane north south, 6 lanes on the east west. It's so different type of roadway. You might have to scale them back a little bit, make them more realistic. So if we do build this roadway, the land use is going to be compatible with what is out there, as opposed to having this this different thing. So land use, this coordinated plan, they've been done before. Again, this is a much broader area, but this would be an effort that would be led by really Lake County and CMAP. Lake County just applied for a grant from CMAP, a partial grant. I would imagine there'll be some funding requests coming to the tollway to partner.
Any idea what the toll cost is?
Since we're dealing with 19 communities, a typical land use plan might be somewhere in the range of $20,000 to $50,000. You're pulling together multiple communities, it's probably going to be in the $1 to $2 million range. CMAP wasn't even sure either. That would be for the entire plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there was a number that was assigned.
Anyway, and given the somewhat, the uniqueness of this particular plan idea, what, the time element?
It'd be about a year. Yeah, about a year is how long it would take. And what my suggestion would be, we do our work concurrent with or just after the land use plan. Again, maybe we lag.
I think it would have to be concurrent.
Concurrent, yeah, or slight lag behind it, because they're going to be, that could be up and running this fall, the land use plan work, getting the communities together.
Because CMAP has some funds, and competitive grant funds, that some of the communities are applying for. I know Lake County is taking the lead on those applications as well. So we believe that this will be underway. I think it was important, the council members thought that it was important to knit together many of these disparate plans, so to speak, or different plans, and really create one corridor plan, which I think is actually exciting progress, frankly, because it's obviously not realistic to expect that every community is going to have the maximum growth, the maximum job creation, the maximum.
Can't just aggregate the separate
right,
and come
right,
up with
right, right. An accurate picture. So
yeah,
and I think we included about, I think that our estimate, if I recall, I know you said 1 to 2 million, but I think that in the project budget, which we did include this because it was so important to these to the members of the council, so it was included at, I think, $1 million in the project budget, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
As an estimate.
Far off the decimal point. I think that's what it was. It might have been $1 million.
Yeah.
Any questions for you?
Yep, we did have it as $1 million, and that's actually one of the appendix slides as well.
Is there any specific legislation required to move this overall plan forward?
Yes.
Characterize what that
means. Yes, I'll do my best. Actually, on the report itself, there's a lot of different legislation that would be required. I'm going to look at these just so I make sure I hit them the right way. One of the things we would definitely need is some kind of General Assembly action to give us authorization to proceed with this type of a project, making sure that the limits of our authorization are aligned with what's needed here, but then also
particularly what's contemplated on the 120
portion, right? Exactly, because the 120 limits have changed from what our authorization was. But then also the toll on the Route 53 portion, the existing portion of Route 53, requires some General Assembly action as well. Things that that we can see change would be extending our borrowing terms up to 35 years. That was something that right now we're capped at 25 years. If we're going to look at some different financing, it would be nice to have that ability to look at 35 years. Something that, since this is an absolutely unique roadway and something that we, and it would run more like an IDOT type of an arterial roadway as opposed to an interstate, what we'd be looking for is as a tort immunity, some liability protection, since we are going to have reduced shoulders, 45 mile per hour operating speed. We don't build and design and operate roads with those types of conditions, especially toll roads, access controlled toll roads. What we'd be looking for is protection, liability protection on such roadway that is in line with what IDOT has right now on their system to kind of caps their liability. That is something that I would think we would want to make sure that we pursue, given that this is something new. And you're designing something to a 45 mile per hour limit, not a 70 mile per hour. So that's something that we might want to even make sure is in there. Any federal authorization that might be needed for tolls on federally funded roadways, any transfer of land rights from IDOT. We already have this authorization from IDOT to put where they can transfer the land, but make sure that we're tight on that. And any other legislation that would be required to support any of these other funding arrangements, such as SIT, TIF, or special service areas. There's no, every community could do a TIF, but there's no value capture in a larger, broader TIF district. So there might be some legislation that's going to be required. We did enumerate what that legislation is within the document, things that would have to be pursued as we go along. So those are the things that we have to look
at. So I think the simple answer is we're still very early in the process, but tremendous amount of progress made. And I know, you know, on the part of the staff and certainly my part, I want to thank the, David Stolman, who's here as one of the co-chairs, but also George Ranney is not here, but also put in a tremendous amount of work, as they all did, on this document. A lot of questions addressed, but many left to be answered, certainly.
So good. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask about the 120 alignment and how you, that's, I assume, in the initiate, the develop the design, detailed design concept.
Right now we've got two alignments and two different cost estimates for what might happen on the Route 120 alignment. There's one that's it looks more like a Y as opposed to a T.
Mm-hmm.
Really pulls in a little bit tighter. So there's one alignment that really relies more on the existing portion of 120 to handle some of the traffic, particularly to the west. And then there's another alignment that provides more of a bypass of the existing 120 and ties in a little further to the west. And there's also some variations that have been contemplated at the east portion of 120. These are things that we started the discussions on this. We found out what might be, again, acceptable and palatable to the environmental community, because there are a lot of environmental resources along that stretch of 120, so that needs some additional work too. But we have kind of the range of things that would be acceptable. Changing that would change the cost, also changes the revenue projections, because now you have less portions of a road to toll, so that changes.
Does it make it more or less attractive to drivers to use it? Not just the number of tolls, but also what's going to be attractive to the potential drivers and customers.
So I guess, you know, it seems clear that in this decision-making process that some of those decisions will be, as we go forward, will be dependent on earlier refinements and decisions as well. So based on those realities, what would you say, are probably the critical next steps here that will help inform us moving forward and help us refine this?
Well, I think on slide 11, certainly we'd like to move forward using some of those funds in the Move Illinois program with a more detailed design concept, deal with some of these outstanding questions, but also refine, the potential cost elements, as well as some of this traffic work and surveying that we need to do of, potential customers, what their interest is in using this type of roadway, how certain adjustments may impact, the traffic and the revenue and the sensitivity there, some of this work on congestion pricing. So those are really two of, I think, the critical technical elements that we'd like to move forward on. I think we'd also like to gauge the level of interest here from this committee and ultimately from the board of us participating in some way with the corridor land use plan. This could be very impactful and important. And when I say participate, I'm not just talking about our time, but is there some, some amount of funding support that we would provide? I think my expectation would be that would be the minority or the smaller portion of funding, not the majority of funding for the plan. But is there something, is the tollway interested in maybe thinking about some financial support there? And then I do think, as Rocco mentioned, whether it's something that the directors and you, Mr. Chair, would like to recommend, that there's some work to be done here on the gap. Frankly, you know, that funding gap, some of that work could be done now. Some of it probably needs to continue once we get the refined cost estimates for the project and some of the additional traffic work done. But you know, convening or you know, asking for, again, some local participation on really honing in on some of those financial elements of the project, ideas that were ideas in the report but now maybe need to be fleshed out a little bit more. I think those are the major points. So again, you know, engineering and design as well as the traffic work, something that we would pay for, and then some of these other
Hey, can we double back a little bit on the actual budget? You know, our capital plan involved a somewhat limited amount relative to this possibility of this project, as opposed to some of the other things that were clearly delineated at their full extent. What is contemplated under the capital plan for this right now, and are we what can we achieve within those limits that you just discussed?
The funding that was allocated for it was combined Ileana and 53 was $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
For both of those projects, wasn't defined for any one particular item. But we could certainly do within that. You know, there's plenty that can be done. Obviously, it's not going to be enough to build a roadway, but it gets us pretty far along. I mean, I think the next thing that we'd have to do is, you know, with the corridor landings plan, that would be one item. More of a detailed design concept. So again, putting a little bit more meat on the bones. It's still not a full level environmental impact statement that, or environmental evaluation that has to happen, and detailed design work. So those things would also have to occur. You would get pretty far along.
Mm-hmm.
Getting your, at a minimum, your design concept that can be done and start working on some of the next steps as far as phase one engineering and environmental work.
Yeah, so while it's a small percentage of the overall capital budget, it's sufficient to move quite far down,
right,
down the road, as we
right,
say.
Right.
That's for sure. Sorry.
We say that.
I didn't.
You say that.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Well, I think we would recommend and certainly like to see, you know, some of the, again, the design, engineering, and traffic work, that we would start to move forward on scoping out what that would look like and potentially putting it out on a bulletin or soliciting for, you know, additional assistance on those elements. If there is some potential interest, again, I don't necessarily see it as a significant dollar amount for us, but you know, if there's openness to it, we could look at whether or not the tollway cost participates at all in the corridor plan. If you're open to that, we would of course come back to the board with whatever that number is, because it would be, you know, some funding likely going to CMAP for that work. But you know, I think that could be important. But I think that, as I said early on, I think it's really moving these two, you know, which would be potential contracts or additions to the scope, I shouldn't say additions, but you know, including in the scope of work for instance, our current traffic engineers and a design engineering contract to do some of this other work.
Mm-hmm. So is there any specific go-aheads you need from the committee?
I think just a general sense that you're comfortable with that. Obviously, any of those contracts would come back to you and to the board for ultimate approval, but just if you're comfortable with us doing that, I think that would be our recommendation.
I say move forward.
And as you indicated, we'll come back to the committee anyway, so we can take a closer look at it at that moment. But
yep.
Is there philosophically any issues with moving ahead?
Good.
So I think we can say the sense of the committee is to proceed in that fashion.
Good. And if it's acceptable with you, Mr. Chair, we will also work with the locals to talk about the financing component and kind of the gap and the right timing to convene. I know that they're already starting to think about and do some work on it, but to really convene and focus in on that, because obviously it's a critical element. Paying for it is pretty critical to figuring out.
And we don't really want that to be the last issue to be resolved. Either.
Right. No, we don't.
Is there a deadline on it?
You know, I would say that our side of this work, Rock, would you think it's a year? The corridor plan will take a year. You
corridor
know, the
plan
designer,
about a year.
Design is a year to 18 months,
yeah,
right?
About that.
Some of the additional environmental work. And, you know, you'd hope that the financing obviously would need to be in place or some, you know, some finality around it, I would imagine, before the tollway decided to move ahead on the project. So I think you're looking a year, 18 months down the road, because they're going to need some of the information from this technical work that we're doing in order to do their work. Some would be done before, but some it could be done without it, but I think they're going to need some of that.
So an additional year after the year of the design, or have it going on simultaneously?
No, I think it should go on simultaneously, and we can make sure that they're getting up-to-date information from us as it's appropriate.
But, you know, the other thing that interests me, too, is we have definite projects that we have, you know, all of the capital plan sequenced over the period. And, you know, so if this were to be kind of added, I think one thing we may have to look at in terms of sequencing or timing here is the capacity of the industry to absorb it as well. Are we going to take a little bit of a look at that?
We certainly do in all of our planning, and we tried to balance the current capital program with that capacity question, you know, in mind. So
right.
I do think, you know, you start to over, you know, you can get into a situation, as you're suggesting, where the cost escalation, because there's not the industry capacity there. So it would definitely be something that we have to look at.
You know, it was partly contemplated in the work we had already done. That's why we looked at that 2020 time frame as a midpoint.
Right.
And some of the financing, you know, also considered, okay, what else might be going on? Because we need to outlay a lot of money before you see any of the revenue on it. So I know those were, again, very high level, but generally already considered as part of what we do and what the capacity.
Yeah, and that's fine, except now you're talking about moving that midpoint. We just have to
challenge
right.
there.
You're
yes.
right. That's something that we need to balance.
Okay. Very good. Any other questions or comments from the members?
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd just like to thank Rocco. Also did a fantastic job on this from a staff perspective. I know he enjoyed every moment of
every one of them
that he attended.
Right.
And I certainly appreciated everybody's time. So thank you. You did, as usual, a great job.
Thank you. Additional items under executive director, anything to you? Okay.
No.
And then I believe no unfinished business. Any new business? Before us, no need of an executive session. Therefore, if there's no other business to come before us, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
We have a second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, one and all.